share with you this morning is that the trickery of the Gibeonites. Sometimes we are friendly with the enemy in a bad way. Okay? But I want you to understand that you also need to understand that God is a promise keeper. Amen? You all need to understand that God is a mystery. Let me say this. You will never, ever understand God fully. He is a mystery. I mean, 6 years into my marriage, my wife would tell you she got me figured out. 6 years into the marriage. But God is a mystery. I don't care how long you've been on this journey. He is a mystery, meaning something that is not understood. He works in mysterious ways. So, the people of Israel just defeated the city of Ai and are preparing to march deeper into Canaan as they claim the promised land that the Lord God said he will give to them. Amen? They now have a couple of victories underneath their belt. They had to learn some difficult lessons along the way. And now they're moving forward to possess the land that God has promised. Now, we need to understand that the Bible tells us that our enemy, Satan, is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Amen? He is he's a very effective adversary. And we are warned that we must watch for his attacks. There is danger in becoming friends with the enemy. Amen? What you need to understand here when you study this, and I hope that you do study this as a Bible study topic, to understand the enemy. Gibeon is a type of devil. Amen? This is a battle that still must be fought, is what I'm saying. We have the victory, but this is a battle that still must be fought. However, we have been promised victory. Amen? To obtain it, we must trust the Lord Jesus and walk daily in his will. Eventually, the devil will get what's coming to him. Amen. I tell people all the time, you can't continue to do bad and expect for good to come out of that. Amen. You keep doing wrong, wrong is going to catch up with you. Amen. It's just all in a matter of time. Amen. But now we must contend with the devil. But thanks be to God, he has left us with his word on the situation. Amen. I'm thankful to God for that. There is great danger in becoming too friendly with the enemy. Most of the time, the devil knows, see, this is what you need to understand. Most of the time, the devil knows how close we are to the border of a new land. Amen. Blessing. Amen. Or a promise before we even realize how close we are. So don't think that the devil don't know. He is spiritual. Okay? He knows God better than we do. Amen. So I'm trying to tell you that he knows. Don't let people fool you and say, oh, Satan don't know. He doesn't know as God knows, but he does know. Amen. There is a difference. I'm not talking of putting him on the level of God. That ain't what I'm saying here this morning. I'm telling you he does know. And he can see when you're getting close to a blessing. Amen. So therefore, the attack kind of intensifies a little bit. So the devil knows more about our strength than we do. The enemy knows more about what God wants to do for his people than God's people know. Amen? Right at the point of the promise, there is a battle to be fought. At every new level, there's a new devil. Listen. It's the job of the enemy of our souls to get us to turn back when the struggle heats up. It's the job of the enemy to get us to surrender during the weeping of the night so we'll never experience the joy that's going to come in the morning. It's the job of the enemy to get us to surrender during the battle so that we'll never experience the promise that God has for us. Notice I said promise. Underline that. Keep that in your mind, because I'm going to bring that one back up. When all the kings of Canaan heard what had happened to Ai and to Jericho, they joined forces to seek to defeat Israel. The kings of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites were sworn enemies. Sworn enemies. The kings of the land of Canaan were now putting aside their differences and prejudice against each other that they had festered all of those years of their wars. They now have a common enemy, and the only thing for which they could have a common bond from which they could unite was their hatred for the people of God. Even in our country today, the only true unity that the people of this world seem to have is their common defiance and their hatred for the people of God. Now they're starting to say, if we say anything that is against what they're doing, it's called a hate crime. Amen? Anything we speak against that the world is doing that is in the Word of God, it is now being labeled as a hate crime. When Israel was fulfilling the Lord's command to take possession of the promised land and drive out its inhabitants, the Gibeonites, who were among them, recognized what was happening and concocted a plan. Isn't that like Satan? That's why I said Gibeonites, they're kind of like Satan. This group of kings making an alliance for war against God's people represents Satan as he comes to God's people as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I think that all of us as Christians often underestimate our enemy in the spiritual realm. And the fact that he is plotting against all of us day in and night, trying to come up with some type of plan that he can get the Lord people to agree upon so that he can ensnare us into his trap, his unbelief. It's the trick of the enemy. I mean, he comes in so smooth. And man, I mean, I'm telling you, he will use his words and he will get God's people. They knew, here's the thing, the enemy knew they couldn't ask Israel to just leave them alone. That wasn't going to happen. That wasn't going to happen. So they already knew, they already plotted. They already knew, well, they ain't going to leave us alone because they came to destroy us. And we know who's on their side. So they had to secure some kind of positive, ongoing relationship. In other words, we need to kind of deceive them in a way. Hopefully that they're not, you know, they don't have the guards up. Hopefully we can get them to drop the guard. So using their disguise, the Gibeonites urged Joshua to become buddies with them. In other words, league in my, it's the same as covenant with them. So that's how the enemy rolls. Does things to deceive the people. The Israelites, fresh from their initial victories over the Canaanites at Jericho and at Ai, were tricked into making a covenant with the people from the city of Gibeon. The Gibeonites were Hivites. Okay? One of the Canaanite people groups God had singled out when he commanded the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. You'll see it. You shall make no covenant with them. There's more to it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? God told them, gave them specific instructions on what needs to be done. Is it that once we hear a word from God, we do the complete opposite of what God said. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You know for a fact what God said. You heard God's word. You got a confirmation of God's word. But yet and still, you do something different. As if God's word has now changed. All right. It has not changed. God told them, do not make a covenant with them. Destroy them. He said this. The Gibeonites may have been aware of God's command because they came up with an elaborate trick to fool them. They had to have known. Okay? So I'm not going to say they didn't have no idea. No, they had to have known. See, there's people out here who you don't think that know God. They know God. They just may not be walking with God. So they can tell you a thing or two about a thing or two. Amen? When the Gibeonites heard the Israelite army was approaching, rather than harness their chariots and sharpen their swords to get ready for battle, they took on a different approach to trick Joshua now. They're approaching. In Joshua chapter 9 and 7, and the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure, ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league, in other words, a covenant with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence ye come? That's what happened. Y'all see that? Listen to this. Listen to this. I'm going to slow it down. They use all of the language a person would use who was desiring to come and submit themselves to the worship of the Lord of the Jew. They say, we are thy servant. In other words, they convinced them that they want to come and sit at their feet and learn. Flattery. That's what that is. We as Christians have to be careful and never to be taken with any kind of flattery from people, for this is always the snare of the devil. They told them what they wanted to hear. Let me tell you this. When you have a conversation with people, a lot of times we focus on what they're saying, amen? We listen to them. Nothing wrong with that. Should be paying attention. But it's not what they're saying to you. It's what they're not saying to you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Maybe some of you don't. Let me just say this to you. You so focus on what they're saying to you, but it's not what they're saying to you. It's really what they're not saying to you that you need to know. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because the Gibeonites were saying stuff to them, but it wasn't what they were saying. Is what they wasn't saying. Y'all need to understand that. Don't be enticed. We do it all the time. We're enticed by, you know, and let me just use this common thing that we all are so familiar with, as Jesus did. He said, I can't speak to you things from heaven because you're not going to understand that. So I'm going to speak to you from things that you understand, that you know, that you deal with on a daily basis. So in relationships, we do the same thing. Person comes and tell us what we want to hear. And we just melt and be like, oh, he is so charming. He's so wonderful. You got to hear him. Flattery. And we fall for it. And as my grandfather who would say, you know, they say they got the hospital rolls, right? This is covered, but the back is out. So in other words, it's a devil disguised. Covering up the front, but the backside is exposed. So we are enticed by people's flattery. And a lot of times we think, well, you know, they're saying all the right words, you know. I know they have God because they said this and that. But hold on now. You know what God is saying. You know what God is saying. Joshua chapter 9. And the men took their visuals and acts. Not counsel of the mouth of the Lord. Didn't even ask God. Just made a decision. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and princes of the congregation swore unto them. At first, the Israelites were kind of weary. They was like, hold up now, something ain't right. Something ain't right. Something ain't right with this. This story just not, it's just, it doesn't make sense to me. Because Joshua said, hold up, who are ye? In other words, oh, you know how you have a conversation with somebody and somebody come up and start talking, and then you say, hold up, who are you? Who are you? You checking them. Joshua's checking them. And who are ye? Joshua, it's not registering to them yet. You know, he's like, he's kind of leery. He's kind of like, I'm not. See, the sermon is kicking in and trying to tell you something ain't right about this situation. See, that's why I said it before and I said it again. My discernment kicks in. And when my discernment kicks in, I understand that that's what you want to do, but my discernment tells me no. So I have to listen to my discernment. I understand. Everybody's talking about how good it's going to be, how fun it's going to be. But my discernment kicks in and says, no. And I'm done with it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm done with it because my discernment is telling me not to do it. But some of us, with all the red flags, you know, you let me say this, you know, my wife, she loves the beach, and so this is not about her, but this is about the picture that she showed me. At the beach where we just left, you know, Harvey just came in, right? So they got two red flags up there. Now I'm going to say this. Some people will still try to go out there where they got two red flags. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They were like this, oh, I'm going to surf. And they out there, they trying to do it. They're like, I'm catching this wave. I mean, people will literally still do it. You know, I mean, last year when we went, there was they had a sign up that said, that says, please do not swim in this water right here. Because it was kind of like, I can't remember the word that they used, but it was toxic or whatever. Some type of, it was not good for your health to go in there. Y'all know we saw people swimming in there? And I'm sitting there looking at people like. I mean, they having themselves a good time. I'm sitting there going like, okay. Bypass it completely. Amen. So how many times have, you know, the devil has tricked us, used us? Or how many times have we jumped into things that we do not realize that have made a mistake because we didn't take time to pray about it? Everybody was, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. If you go up to people, they'll say they prayed about it, but they didn't. That just doesn't shut you up. I mean, I get that now. I mean, you talk to people, they say, yeah, I prayed about it. Yeah, I talked about it. And I mean, you be wanting to just, you know, you didn't. You try not to be rude, but sometimes you have to. And no, you did not pray, because if you did pray about it, it wouldn't be the results of this. You don't pray about this and then look at it, then second guess it and be like, well, what God said, but it ain't working out for you. God will lead us in our decision when we seek his will through the word and in prayer. But he will not, listen to me, he will not force us to seek his counsel. He ain't gonna force you. He's not gonna force you, but he will give you directions if you wait on the Lord. God had told them to utterly destroy the inhabitants and make no covenants with them. Period. Period. It don't get no plainer than that. Don't make no covenant with them. Destroy them. However, Israel disobeyed this command, and as a result, they sinned before the Lord. The word of God plainly tells us what the Lord's will is for our lives, but somehow we don't pay attention to it. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. The Bible makes it clear that the Gibeonites' skill wasn't the main reason Israel got food. The clues in on why Joshua and the other leaders fell for the Gibeonites' tricks, again, they did not ask from the Lord. So it wasn't so much of the trick that fooled them. It was the fact that they didn't ask God. Joshua and the people of Israel were on track to drive out all the Canaanites, just as the Lord had commanded them. But then they unwittingly enter into covenant with the whole nation of them. Joshua and the leaders of Israel presumed to be wise enough to handle the situation on their own, and they did, and they ended up compromising on what the Lord had commanded them. Notice it. 3 days after they made the covenant, the Israelites learned that they've been had and that the Gibeonites are actually Canaanite neighbors. So it only took 3 days before they worked out the truth. How did that happen? Well, let's just say hypothetically. They're walking, and all of a sudden, they start coming to familiar territory. And they start saying, well, no, you turn right here, or you go this direction, or over here is what is really good water, and over here, you know. Hold on. How you know all this if you came from afar? Hold up now. Maybe something starts stirring up within the people. It's like, hold up, they know too much for not to be from here. You understand what I'm saying? That's like me saying, you know, I've been going down to, you know, to Cape Girardeau, and now I'm kind of really familiar with the layout of that area, right? And so now for me to say to somebody, well, I don't know what it is, you know. Then I start driving, I go straight to it. Do that make sense? I'm trying to get you to picture what may have happened here. Well, these people, now all of a sudden, something starts to click, and Joshua's like, hold up now. Something ain't right. Y'all know this land too well to come afar. So 3 days it took them. Sometimes it takes us to get into a situation, then all of a sudden, when we get in it, we realize, hold up, something ain't right. In other words, you're questioning, did I really listen to God or was I doing my own thing? Now you're sitting there like, oh, now you're mad. You're mad at everybody. You ain't just mad at yourself. See, we get mad at everybody. And we take it out on everybody. Everybody, you know, we get upset. Even the dog can't even speak. We get mad at the dog because the dog should have barked when you was making the decision. That's how mad we get. We get mad at everybody. Dog gets in the way. You should have barked. You knew I was making the wrong decision. Shame on you. You start talking to, I'm just saying. When Joshua found out what these people had done, he went straight to them and rebuked them and confronted them with their sin. See, the enemy must be confronted. You got to let the enemy know, hold up now. Now, see, we ain't no yellow-bellied chicken now. You got to confront the enemy. You can't let them just know that they just got away from them. Oh, no. Go and confront them. When Jesus, listen to this, when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he turned to the word of God. He confronted Satan with the truth and caused the devil to flee his presence. Yeah. Satan cannot stand in the presence of the truth. All right. If we will just confront him with the word of God, he will flee from us. That's why Jesus said, hold up now, it is written. Hold up now, it is written. Every time Satan attacked Jesus, he hit him with the truth. See, when you hit people with the truth, it shut them up. Like somebody came to me, you know, wanted to talk about someone on the job, about some foolishness, and they said, oh, you get ready to what? This and that and the other. I said, HR approved it. That's it. All right. I walked away from them. I don't know if their mouth was still open or not, but I left. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm not finna sit here and argue with you about something that I don't need, that ain't even pertaining to you. Right. Trying to get in a debate with somebody in the break room about something because they don't like this individual? No. HR had already confirmed it. HR confirmed it. I was good with it. And now this person want to get into a debate with me about this? No, I rebuke you. I'm gone. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's just that simple. How hard is that? If you do it enough, it won't be hard. If you ain't done it, then it's going to be hard for you. You're going to be like, did the pastor say noun to rebuke or how do we rebuke? I wasn't paying attention. I need to pull up. Oh, I should have pulled up that. I should have been paying attention. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You can't have that type. You got to be ready with this. You got to be ready because the enemy is going to come and he's going to attack. And when he comes and attack, he's already armed. I immediately just said, HR's already took care of it. They approved it. We're good. And I was done. And then she said, oh. I was done. There's nothing else to discuss. The people of Israel murmur against the leaders. They always talking about somebody. But they all agree that they can't go back on what they promised. Promise. The covenant has to stand. A promise, in other words, is a promise. Why should they honor an oath gained by dishonorable means? This isn't just an old promise. This isn't the sort of promise that our politicians make and then change when the situation make them difficult to carry out. No, this is an oath sworn in the name of the Lord. This is an oath that must not be broken. They promise to protect these people, and protection they will get because they swore in the name of the Lord. Now, I said have this for Bible study, right? So 200 some years later, okay, there was a famine in Israel. And when David asked God about this, he was in 2 Samuel chapter 2, and chapter 21 and verse 3, he was told that the famine had come about because Saul had tried to wipe out the Gibeonites, despite the oath of protection that Joshua had sworn. God said, hold up, there was a covenant made. God is saying, they swore unto me. So now I got to protect these people because of their mouth and what they said. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Are y'all hearing what the word of God is saying? I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus instructed his disciples never to swear an oath. Because when you swear an oath, God makes it seriously and expects you to keep it. Amen? You got to keep it. Still, Joshua summons the Gibeonites to learn why they sought to deceive them. The Gibeonites replied, Joshua. And they answered to him, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were so afraid of our lives because of you. And that's why, in other words, we've done this. We did this thing because we were afraid. Did Satan know of the power of Joshua and his God? I believe he did. Because look what the Gibeonites said. We know about the name of the Lord, for we have heard a report of him and all that he did in Egypt. Amen? All that he did in Egypt. We heard the word of God. We know what's getting ready to happen to us. So we didn't want to be destroyed, in other words, so we had something to keep our lives. So I want you to see something. I want you to see something here. Notice all the parallels between the Gibeonites and Rahab, the hero of faith mentioned, okay? Like the Gibeonites, Rahab was native of Canaan, okay? Like the Gibeonites, she had confidence God was giving the land to Israel. Like the Gibeonites, she responded with fear before God's people, Israel. Like the Gibeonites, Rahab acted with cunning in order that she and her family might find refuge among the people of God. Let me tell you something. There is safety in the will of God. And the devil knows it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? The devil knows it. They know it. There is safety in God's will because he knows that God's going to protect his people. That's why we shouldn't be afraid, be fearful. God is going to protect his people. Now, the parallels between the story of Rahab and the story of the Gibeonites seem more than just coincidental. The author of Joshua appears to be demonstrating on more than one occasion and thereby reaffirming that God indeed intends to bless all the families of the earth through Israel. Amen. According to his promise to Abraham. Now, remember I said hold on to that promise. God, if God has given you a promise, I promise you, God is going to fulfill that promise. Y'all believe that? You better know it. All Abraham had was a promise, and Isaac was born. That's all Abraham had was a promise, and Isaac was born when he was 100 years old, and his wife Sarah was 90. If all you have is a promise, I have good news for you. A promise is all you need for God. Amen? A promise is all you need from God. If you have been given a promise from God, all you got to do is wait on that promise, and it's going to come. With nothing but a promise, Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage. All Joseph had was a promise, but the promise brought him out of the pit and out of the prison and finally into the palace. A promise. When Jesus died on the cross, the only reason he knew after 3 days he would rise again was because he had a promise. He had a promise from his father. His father told him, you will rise again after 3 days. A promise. For over 3 years, Jesus told everyone, I will die, but I will rise again. He told them he would rise again because he had a promise. He died with the promise. He was placed in the tomb with the promise. But 3 days later, he walked out of the grave with the keys of death, hell, and the grave because he had a promise. Y'all better believe that if God has given you a word, he has given you a promise. I don't care how long it's taking. I don't care how weary you're getting. Understand that when it's a promise is a promise. We're not talking about man. We're talking about God. Because they swore unto God with this enemy, now God had to protect them. Y'all understand why? Because it was a promise. God said, okay. Joshua acted as an ambassador to the Lord. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And when he acted as an ambassador, that was he was representing God. In other words, he was speaking on behalf of God. Yeah, yeah. Y'all have to understand what I'm saying here. So therefore, when Saul tried to destroy them and tried to wipe them out, understand this. God remembered that oath. God will remember you. You have peace because you know that you are not going through what you're going through alone. You know that the Lord is with you because in the word of God it said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God sealed that. He said, amen. He signed off on that. When somebody signed off on something with authority, let me tell you something. It is a blessing. I had the vice president to send an email to the corporate office because the corporate office was trying to get an understanding of what my request was, and all the vice president did was put in his email, approve. All right. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He ain't go through no explanation. He just said, approve. Right. Y'all better understand when God says, I promise you, God is basically saying, I'm going to approve it at its appointed time. Let me tell you this. This is the reason why some of us don't understand this. You may be having a hard time trying to figure out what is going on at the present time. You're probably in a time when your mind is telling you one thing and your spirit is telling you another thing. The best way I can word this is your body is still in the present, But your spirit has stepped into your future, and your mind is confused because it's trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Y'all need to understand what I'm saying to you. Your spirit knows things about your future that your mind does not know. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor have the ears heard of all of the good things that God has in store for us. God has revealed them unto us by his spirit, for the spirit searches all things, the depths, the deeps of God. Y'all need to understand something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 9, it says, while your body is still in your present, in your today, your spirit has stepped into your future, into your tomorrow, into a place of arrival, restoration, renewal. Come on now. A place of provision and prosperity. Your mind is confused because it doesn't understand what's going on right now. Your body is about to catch up with your spirit. If you hold on to God's word, it's going to catch up with the spirit and return. You're getting ready, listen to this, to walk into a place of victory. Why? Because blessing and prosperity is greater than anything you have ever experienced. Standing on the promises of God. You are standing on the edge of a breakthrough. The devil knows what you're getting ready to be blessed with. This is why the attack intensifies. Don't you understand that? Y'all need to understand this. Right before I got ready to get married, I waited on the Lord to bless me with a wife. Let me tell you something. The devil intensified the attacks. I mean, the attacks got stronger than you ever can imagine. But I had somebody praying for me. I had somebody praying for. I thank God that I had somebody kneeling down and praying for God just in case. Just in case. It's not that I slipped, but it was the just in case, Lord, that he slips. Lord, I want you to catch him before he falls. Listen to this. You need to understand that you are closer. This is why when things get so severe, you need to understand. Let me say this to you. When the storm gets closer, don't things get severe? Don't it intensify? Don't you start seeing things blowing across your yard? You're looking like, whoa, because the storm is what? Is getting closer. We need to understand that when you are getting closer to your blessing, when the devil starts attacking you and coming at you, that's because God has something that you cannot see because you're still operating in the present. You need to tap into the spiritual realm. Here's the other thing. You need to have people in your life that believe in you. Amen? Don't be around people that don't believe in you now. Because they'll tear you down. They're going to laugh at you. Make fun of the situation. I can't believe she all about that church stuff. Let me tell you something. I'm all about it too. But I'm going to tell you this. But greater is in he that is in me than he that is in the world. God is going to bless me. You can laugh at me all you want to. It don't make no difference to me. Because when you get done laughing, I'm going to be laughing at you. You got to have people in your life that's going to be positive to you, that believes in you. People who will tell you that you can have what God said you can have. Do what God said you can do and do what God said you can be. You need to remove the people that are jealous of you out of your life right now. If they are jealous of you now, they will be jealous of you tomorrow. Amen. If they're jealous of me right now, tomorrow I ain't gonna change it. You need to tell the people in your life who are jealous of you, don't be jealous. I cannot help it. You know, you have to understand something. It's my turn. It's just my turn. You know, here's the thing, but you got to, you know, God likes for us to be, you know, positive people and have confidence. So if it's my turn today, preach to them and say, it may be your turn tomorrow. Understand what I'm saying? So, in other words, what you're saying is basically, shout with me today, and I'll shout with you tomorrow.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. We can shout together. You celebrate my victories today, and we'll celebrate yours tomorrow. But right now, it's just my turn. So don't be jealous of me. Know that God has just made a promise, and my promise is now ready to expose itself. Why? Because of the patience that I have with the Lord. That's the difference. Patience. We don't want to be patient. I'm waiting on the Lord. That's the wrong attitude. That type of attitude is not going to get what God has for you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all don't think God understands attitude? That's why Moses didn't go over. Moses said, you want me to get y'all want some water? Let me get you some water. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm for real. Moses, he hit that rock. And it's the attitude and how he hit the rock. So God said, okay, he think I'm playing with him. I'm giving you my version. But it's in there. So God's some people really know that. That's just me translating. But God is saying, okay, since that's the way you are, I tell you what, Joshua, your turn. Your time. You come on up here now. I'm going to deal with Moses. But it's your time. It's your turn. The promise has been made to you. So step up. You up. That's the way that works. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You did a good job, Moses. But, okay, you know, okay, quiet down. I'm going to come to you in a minute. But let me let Joshua know what he needs to do. Tell Joshua, because the promise is now on him. Now he comes to Moses. Moses, you know, you ain't going over. You know why? Because the way you hit that rock. I ain't like your attitude. How many got good old school parents? They ever use attitude in your they ever use attitude in their parenting? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, you get a whooping on top of a whooping. Have you anybody ever got? Y'all ain't got to raise your hand because, you know, people want to move away from you. You that bad? Got a whooping on top of a whooping. I got a whooping in there. I got an attitude and walked out light as a feather. Bob snatched me back in the room. I thought I was clear. He snatched me back in the room because I had an attitude. And he whooped me again. I was like, wow. So when I walked out of the room, I was make sure I was walking in a single file line. Wasn't nobody in front of me. Come on, man. I ain't have much behind me now. You come on, get out now. I used to try to act like he was murdering me. He ain't even swung yet. I used to holler, just act like he murdered me. So my mother said, all right, that's enough. I ain't touched him yet. I was thinking of a plan to get out of it. But my punishment was justified because of my attitude. Y'all have to understand something. God justifies his punishment with the attitude. So you thinking, okay, did these Gibeonites, as I get ready to close, you think, did the Gibeonites get away with that? Did they get away with that? No. Here's what happened to them. They became slaves for the rest of their lives. So you think, did God give them blessings? Yeah, they were blessed, but then they also get punished. I'm going to tell you something. God is not like the world. Some people get off because of your daddy or your mama, who's in the office or whatever. That doesn't work with God. God is saying, okay, I understand what y'all did. I'm going to get you, but I'm going to understand. I'm going to teach the Israelites a lesson. You always need to come to me and seek me before you go and make a decision. But since you did that, this is what you're going to have to do now. You're going to have to protect them when they get into a fight. So you're going to have to get the army ready and go and protect them. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So that's what Israel's punishment was. The protection of the Gibeonites. Now the Gibeonites' punishment was they would remain slaves. But the good thing about that, let me tell you how good God is. As long as they were underneath, you understand, the Israelites, they were hearing the word of God constantly. The word was being preached. That's why I said, ain't nobody going to leave here and say, I ain't heard nothing. Oh, yes, you did. They were hearing God's word constantly, day in, day out. They out. God said, okay, you ain't saved, but I'm going to put you underneath them now. So now you're going to hear my word being preached to you. Now you okay, now I'm going to get you. Now I'm going to put you underneath them. Now you're going to hear my word even when you don't want to hear my word. Why? Because you are a slave now. You inside of the house. Now you got to hear my goodness. Now you got to hear my blessings. Now you got to hear how I destroy people, how I make justification to things. You're going to hear how I do things. That's the way God operates, y'all. You think you got away? You think you're getting away? God said, I got this. I got this. God said, I got this. You ain't got to worry about that. I'm going to take care of the Gibeonites for what they've done. See, when you mess with a child of God, you better understand, you better not put your hands on them. You got to, I don't care how big or bad the policeman may be. I don't care how big and bad the politicians may be. You better not put your hands on a child of God. Things happen. There is a reason why things happen, because you put your hands on the child of God. It's not just, it's just anybody. The enemy. Enemy. The enemy. You better not put your hands on the child of God. That's why the sailors had enough sense to say, hold on. Let's figure out who this man is before we do anything. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Let's figure out who this is. Before we do something with them. Y'all better figure out who you messing with before you go and make your own decision. Because when you make your own decision, God's got a decision too. God is sitting back and just waiting. I want to raise up a hand. Raise up a hand. Raise up a hand. It's going to be all over. Y'all understand that? Y'all know. Y'all remember y'all fighting days. I just want them to touch me. Just brush up against me. Just want them to grab me. Just grab me. Just brush up against me. All they had to do was just brush up against you just slightly. Y'all know it was on and popping. Right. On the playground. At least that's where I grew up at. It was on and popping. So I'm telling you, the enemy, if he touches you, if he messes with you, know that God is watching. Amen.